Welcome to the Death Care Marketing Show.
Today, we're talking about a part of marketing that funeral homes rarely call marketing. It's recruiting and retention. Because here's the truth. Families don't experience your website. They experience your people. And if your best people are burned out or leaving, your brand promises don't match the experience. That gap costs you referrals, reviews, and growth. And the timing for this conversation matters. The pipeline in funeral service is shifting. According to the American Board of Funeral Service Education, today's graduates are 75% female. Other industry sources cite women over 75%, other mortuary science graduates. Either way, the direction is obvious. Funeral homes that understand how to recruit, support, and grow women leaders will have the competitive advantage. My guest today is Lisa Bowie. Lisa is a third-generation funeral director who has worked in the profession since 1979, led her family firm as president and CEO for 38 years, then founded Your Funeral Coach and launched the Funeral Women's Lead Movement, including a foundation described as the first nonprofit dedicated exclusively to advancing women's leadership in funeral service. So Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mary. Excited to be here.
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled. We just spent a half an hour offline telling the best stories. So I hope we can remember some of them for the show because I just love how we're aligned. And I'm so grateful that you could come on to the Death Care Marketing Show.
Oh, my pleasure. It's exciting to be here with you and tell the story about how women are doing in the profession and what we hope for in the future for them.
Amen. Amen. So Lisa, you built a major career inside a family business. Then after transitioning out of ownership, you still leaned in deeply. What was the moment you realized this is the gap I'm going to solve next? And what were you hearing repeatedly from women in firms that made this really urgent for you?
Well, you know, Mary, when I retired in 2019, my children had decided not to come stay in the family business. And so we found a place for it to go with a wonderful organization called Park Lawn. And we became part of the Park Lawn family. And after that, it was shortly after that, because this was in 2019, the pandemic hit. So as we all did, we were stuck at home. Right. And I started to hear from women across the country, just that I knew how lonely they were, how isolated they felt. Wow. And I also realized that the women at Bowie's were struggling. We had almost at least 70% staff were women at Bowie's in management and as funeral directors, pre-planners, and on the front lines. And so they were struggling as well. And yeah. I started to hear their struggles. And as I was discovering during that time, what did Lisa want to do next? Because just sitting back and retiring and playing golf was not my thing. Right. Not very good at golf.
It's hard to go from 1,000 miles an hour to zero. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. Well, my good friend Alan Wolfelt told me to take a year off. Little did I know, because Alan's, you know, being a psychologist and thanatologist, he's like, Lisa, you need a rest. You need to grieve and mourn your loss, and you need to go do nothing. I said, Alan, I'd love to see you do nothing for a year, right? So during the pandemic, I listened. I did a lot of listening, joined some groups online, started to hear the stories the women were sharing. Wow. And I thought, you know, I really want to help them. What could I do to help them? So I started this little business called Your Funeral Coach, and I started coaching. And it turns out not just women, I was coaching men as well.
Sure.
In areas of business and business growth, leadership, marketing, all those things. But the more I was out there on the World Wide Web or in social media, the more people found me, the majority of them were women. Wow. And I started coaching some young women that wanted to be leaders, wanted to be managers, wanted to be owners. And they were struggling. They were struggling with acceptance. They were struggling with self-confidence. They were struggling just to find a place to work that had a good culture that would help them grow.
Wow.
And it the struggles became too much. And I said, you know, I can do this myself for so much, but I'm only one person.
Right.
How do I help a larger group of women around the country,
right.
and Canada too? I had some experiences in Canada with the Funeral Service Foundation and the Funeral Service Association of Canada, FSAC, where I heard from women up there, and it was all the same. Wow. It was all the same. They all have the same needs, differently, obviously, for each individual, but overall, women are struggling, still are. And yeah. we have to do something to fix it. So I got a group of a couple of good friends of mine who are actually on our founding board, Elisa Carr, who is the owner of Kelco Funeral Supply, and Melissa Posey-Luce, who is the vice president of communications for Security National Funeral Homes and Cemeteries. She's amazing. And those two women, we just sat around and started talking about the concept in 2024 and said, hey, what about doing this on a larger scale? And thus we got the foundation founded. And in 25, we launched it publicly. So here we are.
Amazing.
I wrote a little book too.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to talk about that. Just a teaser. That's how we met. I was at the Chicago National Funeral Directors Association event and they were promoting you. And I thought, I need to go see this wonderful woman. And because I'm also, I work with your old company, Bowie.
I know you do. That's awesome.
And I absolutely adore them. And I work with the two women, Casey and Lindsay. And I just have to tell you publicly on screen, they adore you. And they said, I cannot wait for your show to come out. I can't come and listen to it live. I said, well, we're recording it. I said, but I'll let you know. And they went on and on about how you established a culture, how you are the reason that the company is doing so well today, that you took a family business and created this atmosphere, this culture that became such a positive working environment for them as women, but also with the men. Like, it wasn't like it was segregated. It was something that they said, the foundations that you laid, that they will follow you anywhere. They said that we will follow you anywhere.
I guess this gives me goosebumps. Two of my favorite women at Bowie's, of course. Yes. And then, of course, we have Susan Short, who manages our entire care center. At Pam Gears, who's now a national over manager of pre-need sales groups all throughout Park Lawn, but she was our vice president of sales and marketing. Wow. We've just had some great women location managers. They still have two women managing two locations. And it's not just about women. You're absolutely right. The culture makes the difference. And in my book, I do talk about how I got to that culture, because I really messed it up, Mary, in my early years. I knew nothing about managing people, much less myself. And it's not something you learn in college. It's not something they're teaching you in mortuary school. What they're teaching you in mortuary school is how to get licensed. And that's not the mortuary school's fault. That's the way it's structured, that to get your license, you got to learn all this stuff. But managing people, developing positive cultures, not there. You know, I have to tell you something. They just came out with it, and I follow Gallup. I don't know if anyone else does.
Okay.
But Gallup is reporting since 2020, that only the last 2 years, there's only 20% of the employees worldwide that are engaged at work. It's the lowest level since 2020. 20%. So look at your workforce, regardless of your size. If you were to take 80% of your workforce and they left today, what would your business look like?
Oh my gosh.
And if 75% of your workforce are women, why is it they're leaving? Well, I will tell you, they're telling us. And at Funeral Women Lead, we're running a new pulse survey. Brand new, just came out this week. It's up on our website at funeralwomanlead.org.
And we'll share it with the social media. Don't worry.
Please do, because we want to hear from women. The only way to get a positive wake-up call to funeral service is for us to speak up even louder, right? I don't think they're not hearing from everyone. And it's hard when you have a good job, you don't want to lose that job.
Sure.
Right? You've got a family to feed, yourself to take care of. And if you speak up, you're afraid you may lose your job. Well, let me tell you something. It's already happening.
Right.
Gallup is clearly showing, if you apply these same numbers to funeral service today, where 20%, only 20% are engaged. What does that mean? That means the culture isn't there. That means we're not taking good care of our employees. We're not listening to them. We're not motivating them. We're not training and developing them. We're not asking them for their opinions of how we can make our business better.
Right.
So Gallup doesn't lie. There's a $10 trillion lost in global productivity. 1% of the gross of GDP, right?
Wow.
So think about that if you apply that to our business. That's why Funeral Women Lead exists, because we know it's happening in funeral service. Unfortunately, there's been no study of retention in funeral service since 2019.
Right.
When the University of Oklahoma and the mortuary schools who are accredited around the country, about 12 of them, actually fought 12 back then, about 12 to 15 of them followed their alumni in 2019. So they reached out to their alumni base to find out, hey, how's it going in funeral service? Are you sticking with it? And they found a retention rate that was pretty high. It wasn't bad. It was about a 60% retention rate.
But this was before COVID.
Yes, ma'am. Exactly. So did COVID change things? Absolutely. Yeah. Do I hear owners say today, oh, I'm so done with that COVID stuff. Just get over it. Right? And have we gone back to the old way of doing things, which includes burning our people out?
Right.
I coach and mentor several young women. And one of them just took a new job. And she was supposed to be managing 8 to 10 rooftops.
Okay.
And right before she started her position, they fired the other funeral director at the location where she was supposed to home base and told her that she had to grow some apprentices for a while before they would not replace that funeral director. And she is now taking call 24/7, 7 days a week. She's on call and they have no backup. And she's supposed to be a manager. So Gallup's also done some research in management, and they're finding that managers are burnt out. Managers are not engaged. So if your manager isn't doing well at all, emotionally, feeling good about their jobs, how do you think they're going to treat the employees?
Right, right. And this comes back to, I mean, I know this is called the Death Care Marketing Show. This actually is part of your marketing. Because
your people are your best marketers.
Exactly. They're the front line. And how they deal with people is how you're going to get the reviews and get the repeat business and get the families to come in. And if your culture and your people are burnt out, and I think too, I want to bring up, because we kind of talked to this offline, you know, men will say, well, what's the big deal? Like, we've been dealing with this forever. Why do women have to complain about this? And why do they have this? Like, what would you say? In fact, that was at least my next question. In your view, what are the top 2 or 3 reasons women disengage or leave? And what's one change an owner can make in the next 30 days that would actually improve retention?
Well, my list is about a dozen things that owners need to do to change,
but add whatever you want.
Where do we get started? Right. So I think that the culture is really what you need to look at as an owner by listening to your employees, asking them, what are your concerns? I used to go out on funerals and hang out with staff from all different areas, from our part-timers to our full-timers, licensed, non-licensed. And I would always ask a couple of questions of them. And if you can do this on a one-on-one and also a group setting, if you have the courage to do it, and listen openly to your people, what is it we need to stop doing?
Mm.
What is it we need to start doing more of? What is it we need to do differently?
Right.
How am I doing as your supervisor?
Mm.
So listen and ask questions.
Love it.
Yeah, the only way to improve your culture of engagement and employee satisfaction is to ask questions and listen deeply. And then don't make false promises. Make changes in your company. Now, a lot of owners will sit back and say, well, I can't do everything they want. Well, of course not.
Right.
Not right away.
Right. It'd be reasonable.
Not right away, but you will find so many wonderful ideas come from your team.
Right.
That will say, hey, Lisa, do you think we could have a chili cook-off? Or, hey, Lisa, do you think we could actually have a break room that has a relaxed chair with a massager on it and some soft music and a little waterfall? Well, we took our crematory out of our main location and we built 2 break rooms in there. And we made them focused for the staff to have time off. We set up a walking tour around our cemetery with mileage and encouraged everybody to bring their tennis shoes so they could go out and walk, or snowshoes, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
Get out and get some exercise together and take as long a break as you need to center yourself and ground yourself. People, we deal with death every day.
Yes.
It's so hard. And your people are your first impressions.
Yes.
They are your marketing team.
Amen.
They are the ones that are out in the community, hopefully volunteering and making people feel good about them. If you look at the number one reason people choose funeral homes, it is not because of their great marketing. Nothing against great marketing, which
not
is important.
Yep.
It is because of a personal relationship with someone in your firm.
Exactly.
Or previous experience. Now, that previous experience was with someone in your firm.
Exactly.
And if they're not feeling loved and cared for, right? And they're not feeling developed and listened to,
right?
If you're not helping them become great leaders, then you have missed the mark.
Right.
So what do?
Right.
You sit down, you have one-on-ones on a regular basis with each and every one of your people. And then you talk to owners of, I've got like 20 people. How do I do that? I said, your people deserve this.
Right.
They need to hear from you as an owner. They need to know you care each and every day.
Right.
And I learned that the hard way because my staff didn't think I cared about them. Hmm. They thought all I cared about was money. And they thought that I just cared about marketing, profitability, market share. And you know what? That was my focus because I had a lot of debt to pay after my dad died.
Sure.
It was a scary time. I didn't know how to run a business.
Right.
So I focused on customer satisfaction, thinking that's the way to do it. Let's keep our clients happy. Well, I forgot about keeping my staff happy. And it's not just happy, but fulfilled and engaged. And part of your business where you ask them, what should we do to better market our business? How do we beat the competition?
Yeah.
With great service as well as,
right,
what are your ideas? We used to hold town hall meetings at Bowie's. So once a quarter, we'd get together and we would show them all the data, all the competition's information we could capture. We did phone auditing. And we get on the phone by a phantom phone shopper, and we did phantom shopping, and we would shop our competition, and we would get reports back. We'd also shop ourselves.
Nice.
Yeah. And then we would play back some of the recordings. And you could see our staff go, did they really answer that question that right? I said, okay,
right,
so we're not going to put anybody on the spot here today, but what in the heaven's name are we doing here?
Yeah.
And how we answer the phone, we are the first impression.
Right.
Well, you got to work with your staff and help them feel loved and cared for, and then teach and train them on how to handle shoppers over the phone, because people will reach out. They will go to your website first, most of them. They'll look at your social media.
Yep.
And
check
then
out
eventually
have
all your reviews. And where do those reviews come from? Satisfied families who are served by staff who are satisfied.
Staff members. Yeah. Yeah. It's so, the first line. It's their first line of defense.
First line.
And I love that you have to be this. So that is the bottom line for the owners. Like, be brave enough to accept the conversations that are going to come at you, because they're not probably all going to be pretty.
You're not going to love them all.
They can be harsh.
But you know what? This is a wake-up
call. But you have
to
hear it. Because if they left, you wouldn't have a business, right?
That's exactly right. I actually called my director of HR, who is an amazing woman, who taught me so much. I finally brought in a human resource director because we had grown to about 120 employees. And I thought, we need more help than we can do, right? Full and part-time. We had a lot of part-timers. I said, we have to do better, right? So what can we better do to care for our employees? So we spent the money and put it in our budget to hire an experienced HR director who brought in more training, more development, better ways of listening to our staff. And I called her up and I asked her, what is our retention rate? She goes, Lisa, it's 98%.
That's great.
98%. Now, this was pre-pandemic. But that's not heard of today. We know that's not right.
No.
I would venture to say if there was a big research project out there to check on retention rates, which we've tried to encourage others to do, from the ABFSE to other funeral service organizations that actually can afford something on that level, right? Sure. It has to be International Review Board approved and so forth. You know, I would venture to say that our turnover rate's probably 60% since the pandemic.
Yeah. And that's
why they're not staying.
That's being generous.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, because I've heard something about a 5-year, like, especially for women. Well, this kind of leads me into my next question because, okay, let's definitely talk about what owners think is leadership, because you're mentioning like training and providing opportunities for them. But what is leadership versus what builds trust, loyalty, and longevity?
What is leadership versus what builds trust?
So is there a difference between training and leadership to also get those you're talking about retention, right? But what gives them the loyalty where they trust you as an owner, that they have loyalty to you, they'll go the extra mile without question.
Right. Well, first of all, as I said, you've got to listen, right? And then you have to put you really do have to keep your promises. You know, don't bring someone in and tell them that they can be an owner someday, and then don't teach and train them as an owner.
Right.
So to build trust, you have to be honest and ethical, right? Honest and ethical people are believable. This next generation has to see that you truly mean what you say.
Yes.
That's number one. Right. Yes. And listening to them, and here's what's happening. So funeral service is a 24/7 business, and they have not figured out flexible work schedules. They have also not figured out how to pay people equitably and at pay scales that they can live on. These kids are coming out of mortuary school, the licensees, with a lot of debt.
Yes.
And there's no debt repayment. The debt repayment program, the loans they've taken out. I'm hearing apprenticeship salary levels that are below poverty levels, where people have to live on $20,000 to $25,000 a year, and they're paying off their school loans, and they have to afford an apartment, and they can't even barely afford to eat.
Right.
So this is not good. Owners need to step up and sacrifice and pay their employees a little bit better, a lot better. Take a look at what a new nurse, right? An RN is being paid. Compare yourself to the healthcare systems and see how your salaries compare, because healthcare has fixed that problem. Healthcare has actually increased the salaries. They've changed schedules so they're like 4 days on, 3 days off, so they get a decent break. They're dealing with people that are sick and dying.
Yes.
We are serving people who have died and their loved ones are mourning. The stress levels that happen in our profession are no different than they are in healthcare or emergency care.
Right.
But we're not changing enough fast enough. So this whole new generation comes out. They've just been through the pandemic the last 5 years, and they're going into an industry that's still stuck in the way we've always done things before.
Right.
Like, right, this is how we've always done things. So I don't care. You're going to work yourself to the bone for me and prove yourself, because that's how I did it.
Right.
Well, guess what? Yeah, I got a toothbrush out and I scrubbed the floor with a bottle of Coke. Right. And I did all the paying the dues and washed the cars and shoveled the snow and vacuumed the parlors. And I did all of that. But what didn't happen is that I was cared for. My managers at Bowie stood side by side and we washed cars together.
Right.
We changed light bulbs together. They held the ladder.
It's the pride of ownership.
Or I held the ladder. Yeah. Right. So be there for your staff. Now, I know you can't do this every single day, but just don't sit up in your office in your suit and walk around just doing funerals and the important ones, and you don't let your staff participate and you're not teaching and training them.
Right.
Right. I think today's, and I've heard owners talk about this next generation, right? They don't know how to dress. They don't know how to this and that. Well, teach them.
Right.
And teach them the
why. You did that at Bowie. You did that at Bowie, which I think raised the bar, the pearls and the suit and the matching.
Right.
You mentioned all that. That it's so, because as you said, when you are serving at a funeral, it's not about you. It's about the families. So you want to blend and be professional so they don't. Right. We talked about this offline. It's so important. Yeah. And it's nice that you actually incorporate some of this into your academy. So we're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah. But yeah.
I think it's so important. In fact, you've said in your work and your writing that women can lead in their own way with heart and empathy, and that owners and managers have to mentor and prepare the next generation, which we just spoke about. For the owners listening, what does lead with heart look like as a weekly behavior and system, especially around emotional labor and psychological safety? So this ties right into what you were saying.
Well, leading with your heart means you have to show your heart. And as I share in my book, this is one of the things. I was raised in a very tough German family that didn't really show their heart to others. My dad was fabulous at it. My mother was a doctor's daughter, doctor and nurse's daughter, right? So, I mean, but we had that whole German, just suck it up, get back on that pony and show him his boss kind of thing, right? So that's kind of how I was set up with by my grandfather, and who said, Lisa, just get back on that horse, right? I had to learn to be an authentic leader and show them that I truly cared for them. And that takes a lot of risk. And you got to get your suit off and roll your sleeves up and sit down and have one-on-ones with your team. And in today's world, it is almost like a parenting role when you're mentoring someone. They may not have had a great upbringing. They may not have had the parental support that they needed growing up. They truly need to have a boss and a manager and owner that cares for them and shows they care. And it's not about giving them a bonus, throwing, I've heard owners say, I throw a Christmas party once a year. Good for you. That's it. That's all you do.
Kind of like tying in a little something culture. Like, I don't know, are you a Ted Lasso fan?
I love Ted Lasso. I've showed his videos when I do programs.
I love it. but I think that he is a good example of, you know, coming in against all odds and then turning into that mentor that those players, I actually got shivers thinking about it, that they would do anything for. They would fight the battle. They would go into, you know, go into battle for him because he listened to them. He connected to each employee of what, you know, not employee, but on the team. And I think that is kind of ties into what you're talking about. I think when people feel like you're behind them and you want what's best for them and that you hear them and see them, I 100% agree with you. I think that it will make the difference. Again, this ties back to marketing because when your people are happy, your business will thrive.
I totally agree. And I think it's people first. It's a people first organization. There's been a lot of teaching and training on that, but I'm not sure funeral service quite has that right yet. There are some, I don't want to say all. There's probably, I know, 20% in the profession that are really great operators and truly care for their people and have high retention rates. Are most of them independents? Not necessarily. You know, some of the corporates are doing good things too to help their staff. But I think overall, if you're not having one-on-ones with each and every team member on a regular basis, you don't just say, oh, well, I'll see you next month. You know, how's your family? Oh, I understand your sister's going through some struggles. Do you show true personal care? And not in a team environment, a one-on-one, there's all this phrase called manage by walking around. And I used to walk around all the locations and, you know, just take different days of the month. And I just go out in the field with everybody and I just go hang out with them. And I'd ask them those same questions. How do you think we're doing? Well, you know, what do we need to do more of? We actually did an employee survey. And we found out that communication was the biggest challenge that we had. Our managers were not communicating effectively. As you grow as a company, the owner can't do it all. You also have to find really good people-forward managers who and teach and train them to become leaders. You know, John Maxwell teaches this, is to grow leaders at all levels. In his 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, Leadership Gold, all the different books he's written. If you really dive into those, read those with your staff. We had a reading program at Bowie's. So we would read books on leadership, like Patrick Lencioni, I'm pronouncing his name right, wrote The Ideal Team Player and The Advantage. And he wrote some great books, and they're all about taking good care of your people.
Love that. I will reference those books in the notes. So if anyone is looking on YouTube or on any of our podcast channels, I will definitely be having these books and links to them, because that's excellent. I love that, because then it's almost like a book club, but you discuss things that you learn together, and you learn together by sharing concepts you learn. I mean, they say that if you really want to learn something, teach someone else how to do it.
Well, that's right. And at the end, in my book, I actually put self-reflection questions for you to use in staff meetings if you'd like. Like, how has the death of a dear friend or a family member affected you in your life and career? We're human beings, and we are funeral directors or in funeral service or death care in some capacity, yet we're dealing with death every day. Now we're experiencing a death.
Right.
And I share some stories about what it was like after my dad died and what it was like watching my mom die long term. Over 10 years. And, you know, are you asking these questions in staff meetings? Are you asking this when you are doing one-on-ones with your team? You know, how do you make more time to take care of yourself, even when work is busy or hard? I used to require all of our team members to set annual goals on what they wanted to do to develop themselves further as a leader.
Yeah.
And what they wanted to do to find better work-life balance in areas of self-care and wellness, which is why Funeral Women Lead has started a wellness and leadership summit.
Yes, you have it coming up.
Annually, we do. September 27th is our kickoff of our Women's Leadership Academy, which is a new 18-month program that helps women go from learning to be more self-confident, learning to believe in themselves, self-care, and then learning to manage others, or becoming an owner someday of a business.
Which is exactly where you actually had to get mentors purposefully. I read your book, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
By the way, little plug again. Hello. In fact, we talked.
Leave me a good review, will you, please? Because I need more reviews.
And
you know what happens is, Mary, the more books we sell, all the proceeds of this book go to Funeral Women Lead.
You have four charities, right?
I have scholarships, right? So I give out scholarships every year to several different organizations I support them financially, that give out scholarships to others in funeral service, not just women, some women, some not. And it's important that when you have a book that has more reviews, guess what happens? The book sells more.
Yep.
So that creates more sales, and all of them go directly back into those scholarship programs.
I love it. Yeah. In fact, I'm an author as well, and that was a big thing.
No, you are. Those reviews. I know you are.
And so,
husband. So I'm going to give my husband.
Oh yes, please do.
Yeah. So we're writers in the family. My husband's name is Monty Krabs, and he is a fiction writer, and he wrote several short stories. Actually, I think there's five in here. This is his first book, but he's working on his second and his third already. And of course, yes, this is a little, if you're just listening in, it's a little vampire on the drums, because he is a drummer.
Yes.
As well, in a couple bands.
My husband's a guitar player. Our husbands were so similar. We were talking about that offline. We're almost married to the same man. But I love that you have, that it's also like music related. I was going to say, you know, it's for young adults, but I might get that for my husband to read.
There you go. Yeah, it's called The Drum Tech. You can find it up on Amazon and all the other book places. It's also out on audio as well as my book is too. So
I love it. In fact, that'll give you points at home by mentioning his book online.
I think so.
Let's transition, because we talked in the beginning of the show about how women are obviously now a growing majority. Why it's so important to make sure they're trained and led correctly. But before we go real practical, because I have the rest of the show, we're going to get some really quick tips on what people can implement right away as a funeral owner. But I want to zoom out for a minute, because women have been doing the work of death care for a long time. Did you know that caring for the dying, I'm talking to the owners, not you, I'm sure you know this, Lisa, but caring for the dying and dead was historically women's work in many communities. Mm-hmm. And in the early 19th century America, women often served as watchers or watchwomen, tending to the dying, verifying death, offering prayer, guiding families through what a good death meant in their culture. And women known as layers out of the dead, washed, dressed, prepared the body, work that later became professionalized under men or male undertakers. Another powerful example, and I'm going to butcher her name, but Henrietta Duarte is often cited as the first female funeral director of the U.S., becoming a funeral director in 1858 after her husband died At a time when women were rarely recognized as professionals in the industry, and as the leadership continued to change, the National Funeral Directors Association notes that Christine Rachelle Pepper became the NFDA CEO in 2001 and was the first woman to hold that role. So the arc of this is fascinating. Women were the foundational in death care historically, and then were pushed out as it professionalized, and now are returning in large numbers, yet still facing barriers in longevity and leadership. So
they are.
So it's just so appropriate that you're working to help kind of bring back the power and the balance that I think is so necessary. So, all right. So this next section is really what a lot of our owners love. And let's turn this into a practical checklist. So if someone listening wants to improve their recruiting, and we might've covered this a little bit already, but we'll just do some power tips here. If they want to improve the recruiting and retention without spending a fortune, what should they try first?
Well, the first thing they should try is exactly what I shared earlier, is to sit down, have one-on-ones with each of your team members and ask them how you can improve as their boss, as their supervisor. And listen openly. Don't give excuses. Don't try to tell them how busy you are. They don't care, right? They care that you care, right? And then ask them questions about what more you can do to support them.
I love it.
To support them. Period. I mean, just start there. Yeah. That's the very basic. And then listen, and they're going to tell you things that you may not want to hear. They may need more PT, personal time off. They might need a better maternity leave policy. They definitely may tell you that they need more pay and you may have to sacrifice. And I know things are tight. I know things are hard. I know the cremation rate is affecting your bottom line, but I bet your employees have some ideas on how to better improve your services to all families that would actually help increase your bottom line. And there's a lot of statistics out there that show more satisfied employees give better service, which can 100% improve your financial stability of your company and your income off of sales. Exactly. So if you're the kind of bottom line owner that focuses on net profit, ask your employees how you can do that better. Because if all they hear from you is, you know, we got to sell more services here and more this here, more there, this there, they may have some ideas you haven't even thought of.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you got to ask.
Exactly. I love that. Yes. So that is a resounding advice to funeral owners that I think that is so important. And I wanted to bring this to life with real examples from your career and what you've seen across the profession, because you've lived this, right? You were leading from a major firm in the Midwest to coaching, to building an organization for women leaders. So let's bring this back down to earth a little bit. So think back to your years leading the Bowie Funeral Homes. What's one change you made that improved the team stability or performance? And what were the early signals that it was working?
Well, one change I made is I joined an organization called the Leaders Network, which doesn't exist today. I started working on myself. And through that, I actually had the owner come in, or the founder of that group, come in and do a 360 on me. And our management team, because I really wanted to know what people thought of me as an owner. And that's a scary thing to face. I mean, when I got my results, I will tell you, Mary, I cried. Mm. I had let my people down. I wasn't the kind of leader they needed. I was heartbroken. I didn't see myself authentically in the mirror as others saw me.
Wow.
And that was a hard pill to swallow because I was trying to be a woman leader and prove myself. I wasn't paying attention to them. And that really gets down to the basics. And through that, I was able to sit and share my truths with them, my fears, my concerns. And sharing your fears and your failures does not make you weak. It makes you more respected and trusted.
And relatable. And when you're vulnerable, you're relatable, because people are like, oh, you're going through this too. And I think that's the importance of your program, is that it shows that other women are going through it, and how to understand the men in the organization, because we're not against men here. We're just saying is that we have to learn how to communicate in a way that men will respect and honor our needs as well. Right. And that we need to show them that we respect and honor theirs. because they also think differently than us. As we talked about with the dog.
They do. They speak a different language. And you look at the love languages and understanding your communication language. There's a lot of different assessments out there that you can use. A DISC is one of them, the DISC assessment tool. And you can learn more about each other's communication styles. And that's one of the things we found at Bowie's when we started doing staff surveys. So after I worked on myself, and I realized our leaders also wanted to work on themselves and become better leaders, I had to do a little house cleaning because we didn't have some of the right people on the front line supporting our staff. They were not well-trained as leaders. I gave them an opportunity to become well-trained. We put a whole Bowie University together so that we could help teach and train leaders at all levels. And those that came along well stayed, and those that didn't like what we were asking of them to better care for our staff, self-opted out, most of them moved on to other places, and or we helped them win someplace else.
You gave them the opportunity to transition to a new opportunity.
Exactly. But you have to stand firm on that as an owner. You have to be consistent. You got to work on yourself first. And that's why we started the Women's Leadership Academy, to help women work on themselves first in areas of imposter syndrome, self-care, just working on your own self-confidence, your ability to express yourself in a professional, heartfelt, wet manner. And then we also have our Leadership and Wellness Summit, where we spend time helping learn new techniques to be better rested, better focused, better leaders for all of our team members that are out there in our workplace today.
Right. So I absolutely love that. And I'm excited about going to your event, by the way. I've already booked my on my schedule. So you referenced earlier research and the need to measure satisfaction and engagement, especially for women. Mm-hmm. And the Funeral Women Lead lists research and resources as core work. So we're going to be sharing that pulse survey to be able to better do that. But in that pulse survey, what are you trying to measure right now? And how should owners use those findings to make better decisions? Pay, onboarding, promotions, policies, exit interviews? Would that be something that they should focus on?
Well, that's a mouthful. That's a lot of stuff.
It is. Sorry.
We're asking some very basic questions. And we're asking, how are you feeling about your current workplace environment? What are your biggest challenges that you are having? Tell us more. So there's some open-ended questions. It's actually a survey that takes less than 5 minutes.
And it's anonymous, so we don't have to worry that it's going to
totally anonymous. No one's going to know where it came from. If it's sent to you by your association, it's not going to be tracked by association or by your company. We're not tracking it that way. This is really just a ask and answer. Tell us how you're doing in this profession. What are your biggest challenges? What do you think the profession needs to do to better support you?
Sure.
And we hope people from all walks of life, all areas of our profession answer it. And we have different categories where you can check off what your role is. So we'll know where the biggest challenges are. We think we know, but without more research, we actually can't pinpoint it because there hasn't been anyone out there asking these questions yet. So what we hope to do with it then is to use it to share with the greater part of the profession so that, they have an ability to hopefully drive more change. Yes. And we hope to share it with all the women so they hopefully will bring these conversations into their workplace and get more open forums where you're talking about, how can we make ourselves better? And then we will also be using it to develop more training and development programs for all these women that are out there, 75% of them graduating. So we want to keep them.
Right.
And you talk to the mortuary educators, presidents of the mortuary schools, they will tell you their sense, and none of them are doing retention surveys right now, but we hope they will in the future. Their sense is that these women are not staying longer than 5 years. Yes. The majority of their graduates women. Right. And some of them don't even get to the point where they take their national boards. In coaching a young woman recently, she was telling me that one of the interns she's inherited has graduated a year ago and is afraid to take her national boards. Oh. She's afraid of failing.
Oh.
And guess what? You know what? I know. And so, okay, we may not pass it the first time.
Sure.
But
just like
she'd
the
take it a
lottery.
second this time.
Most people don't pass the bar when they spend all that money getting a law degree. Like they can't give up, and you can't give up either. As a,
Right,
if that's where your calling is, it's so important to follow through. Because what there's that famous, you will miss 100% of the shots you don't
you
take.
don't
And
take. That's exactly right. Yeah, I always told that to my son. He played basketball. So exactly, you got to step yourself out there. And those that are in the pre-planning area, you have to take your insurance exam. And I know women who have tried, who thought they were going to just give up on themselves, and they failed it two or three times. And I was like, you know what? Don't give up on yourself.
No.
You can do this. Go back and restudy, because the exam is all computerized. It's all right. And so they ask different questions, and you can, you just got to work on slowing down, taking deep breaths, right? Work on centering yourself before you go in to take that exam. You'll get there. Don't give up on yourself. And that's the biggest thing we're trying to tell women today. We have resources for you. We're going to help you. And don't, you know, be sure that you find a good mentor. If you don't have one, Funeral Women Lead is setting up an entire coaching and mentoring program in the future. And that's something that we want women to know and employers to know, that if you have a young woman out there and she needs more mentoring and she needs more help, call us. We'll
I love
help
it.
you find a mentor for her.
I love
If
it.
you
You know,
don't
and you never.
feel you're the right mentor for her, and let me tell you, sometimes bosses are not the best mentors to those that they directly supervise. Perhaps there's someone else in the community. I know there's some. I used to belong to an organization called Athena,
Oh,
and I don't know if
yes.
you're familiar with
Yes. Yeah, we
Athena.
have in the
Yes,
area.
so I was an Athenian, and they have a really strong mentorship program. So if you have Athena in your market, go look for an Athena club that you can join, because their mentorship is pretty good.
I love that. And again, not I keep wanting to tie it back just to some of our men listeners. This actually might also bring up conversations of the men in your organizations who feel like they're not being listened to. I have some people that I work with who've told me that sometimes, because there's mostly women in an office, sometimes they gang up on the guys because they're like a scapegoat, because they, you know, are doing something and they could talk me out. And she was like, no, this isn't something that we need to have as a culture. We can't just gang up on a guy because he's a guy. Like, you know, we women need to stick together, but not against the other team. Like we have to be supportive because we show, right? Rising tides lifts all boats. So we have to show them respect. And so I think a lot of your leadership training will also help them not only deal with their profession, but also help them in their everyday life with other coworkers, in their kids, with their community, with their churches. And I think that is so powerful. So let's go.
It is.
I believe we're actually going long. I just love you so much. Like everything you say, it just makes me so happy. But let's go into the quick round that we have, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
So we're going to read the good, the bad, and the ugly. So the good, what is one practice you've seen besides listening to your client, your customer, or something different, or to your employees? What is one practice that you've seen that makes women stay and grow? Something good
Just
you've seen.
one. Just
I know.
one. I
Something
know.
that
Just
just one that
one.
you've seen. And maybe it's not in your funeral home, maybe it's on you've in your, you know, in your group. You may have other funeral homeowners that they've said, oh my gosh, this really worked. I know I just threw this at you.
Well, yeah, thanks for that. So there's so many different things. I mean, one of the things we did on a regular basis is we had staff meetings, and I hate to say it's not a regular staff meeting. You don't go in there and just talk about regulation and do's and don'ts and customer service and all those things. You have a group forum where people feel heard.
Love it.
And even if you don't have the time for one-on-ones right now, which you have to make anyway, right? Having some open-ended times together. And we read books together, and then we had assigned each of them to share chapters together where they actually got up and taught in front of the class. We're
I love it.
teaching them self-confidence, right? Teach self-confidence, and don't assume that men or women have it. And if you see too much self-confidence, then that's usually a sign of insecurity and a sign that someone doesn't feel good about themselves. So they're going to come out like they're overly confident. And they may need some mental health work. And so the other thing we did, and I know it's not one thing, but we had a licensed counselor who had a counseling company that rented from us. And we also had, of course, through our employee benefit programs, places for them to talk to someone if they needed help psychologically.
Love it.
Right. Right. And sometimes people don't realize they do. So helping them find those resources, I think is critical.
Anytime there's like, this is sad that where my brain went, but when they have a school shooting and they bring counselors in to have the kids talk it out and help deal with it. Like that's kind of similar. And the next two, so I usually say the bad and the ugly. And the bad question is, what's a well-meaning attempt that missed the mark? But let's just, because of time, we'll also, this ties
Christmas,
into the ugly.
Christmas bonuses. Oh. Stop doing them. Really, you know, it's not about the paycheck all the time. It's really not. I mean, yeah, do they want to have an annual thank you? Or can you do it quarterly? Can you spread it out a little bit? I mean, the world right now is a little nuts. Prices and the economy have gone, all the costs have gone up.
Right.
And I know they've gone up to you as an owner in this business. But if you're not giving your team members adjustments to keep up with the current state of our financial situation, you're going to lose them for, they may just leave the profession if they aren't well paid. Right. And so you try to sit and say, well, it's not always about the pay. Well, sometimes it is. So take a look at your pay scales too.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I love that. That was good. And then the ugly was, what's the landmine that destroys trust fast for candidates or staff?
I think breaking promises. I've seen and coached women who have told me, and men who've told me that these owners have made promises that you're going to be a manager someday. And then they give them responsibilities of management, but no title, no training, no development in how to manage people, or they just simply use them. And is like a carrot to get them into their firm, and then they don't keep their promises. Wow. And that's the number one thing. You'll lose trust immediately. Yeah. So
that is the ugly. That's the ugly. Okay.
That's the ugly. Okay.
I love it. Okay. Rapid fire takeaways. So just finish these sentences. The fastest retention win most funeral homes overlook is
one-on-one. We already one-on-one. Covered it. It's one-on-ones.
Yep. Okay. One-on-ones.
This is not taking them to lunch.
Right.
This is not going into a public place. This is meeting them where they are. This is sitting down in a quiet, uninterrupted, put your phones off. Both of you turn your phones off. Don't even look at your phones and get to know each other as people on a deeper level and find out what your true heart says. Be a heartfelt leader.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, but they just broke up their girlfriend, or they've just had this, or you know, all these things that come up, right?
They bring that stuff to work. They will.
Yeah, they will. Okay, one onboarding change that prevents early exits is?
Extend your orientation time to 180 days. Don't assume, I've got you done for the first month. You've trained. I've taught you everything you know. Well, orientation should continue for a minimum of 180 days. At Bowie University, we had the first 90 and the second 90. And we had a plan the entire time for training and development. We took our staff out, and those that have small firms may not relate to this, but you can take them out in your community and introduce them to your local ministers, introduce them to your hospice, introduce them to your community leaders, and brag on them. It doesn't have to be a large company, but we also took them out and they learned every facet of every part of our business, from going out in the cemetery to see how we opened and cared for loved ones' graves, to going out with the pre-planners to see how we actually helped families make pre-planning in a compassionate way. They spent time in the care center. Even if they weren't licensed embalmers, they observed and they learned about our crematory operations and how we cared for decedents, because the care of someone's loved one's body is so critically important as we care for the mourners.
Yes.
And they worked in the flower and gift shop. They would go out and help us pull weeds and wash cars. They worked with maintenance. We wanted our staff to appreciate every person that worked at Bowie and appreciate the contributions that they made, and wanted them to know that no matter what the job was, whether you were vacuuming the carpeting, changing the light bulbs, washing the cars, or shoveling the snow, you are important to this company.
Okay, that could be a t-shirt. Love
Maybe
that.
So.
We're going to pull that quote out. I love that. Okay. A boundary that leaders must normalize.
Keep your tempers in check.
Ooh.
We have stressful days as owners. We have days when we are not our best. If you
Yes.
can, don't show up. Stay home. Work out of
Yeah.
your home office. When you
Yeah.
walk in that door, your job is to be warm, loving, and caring towards your employees first. Put your employees first, not your client families. That's a hard one for funeral directors and owners because we come into this job wanting to care for people at the worst time of their lives.
Yes, it's a calling.
But it is a calling, but we've put them first instead of our staff. And I can't stress that more.
Yeah.
Your people come first. Flip your organizational chart upside down. You're on the bottom, by the way, and you're uplifting and supporting your staff. And it may sound, kind of, oh, that's easy for you to say. Well, yeah, no, it's not because I had to do it.
Yeah, you did it for
It
38
wasn't hard. It
years.
was it, well, I didn't do it well for 38 years. It took me 50% of my career to get there.
Right.
And it took several wake-up calls like unionization. We have a strong union in St. Louis, and they tried to unionize us a couple of times. And every single time I got down to the root cause of why they felt they needed to unionize, it wasn't about pay. It was because of how they were being treated by me, by some of our managers. It was, here's a dime, go call somebody who cares kind of things that people were saying to others. This is how we've always done it. Just get over it and do it our way, right?
Right.
Stop doing that. If you're having a bad day, if you're not in a good place, tell
Yeah.
your staff. I used to tell my staff, "Hey guys, I'm really stressed out today. I'm having a really hard day. My daughter just tripped and busted open her lip, and she's in the ER, and we're getting her stitches in her front lip, and I need to take a day off, and I won't be in today."
Yeah.
Tell your staff what's going on with you? They want to know. They want to care for you as much as you, they want to be cared for by you.
Right. And that kind of vulnerability makes them even more loyal to you because they feel like they
Correct.
know you, that they're not
Right.
friends with you, but that they understand you and where you're coming from. One of my clients, he does a mission trip with his church.
Yeah. Oh,
And just
nice.
last month he was in Armenia and he explains the importance. In fact, we're doing a Dialogues About Death show next week, and the topic
Yeah.
is about taking off your professional suit and putting on your service, your to make the world a better place suit. We have a better
Right.
name.
Well, it's servant leadership is a
100%.
catchphrase today, but it
Yes.
really truly applies to what we do. If we are truly a servant leader, we will be honest and open and authentic. And our staff, believe it or not, they want to know we're approachable.
Yes.
They want to know that they can come talk to us about anything on their mind. And you have to work harder as an owner to be more approachable. That
Yes.
doesn't mean they need to hear about you and your wife's difficult marriage, right?
Right.
If you're going through a divorce, but they
Yeah.
do need to know that you're struggling and that it's okay to share that because they may be going through it too. But how do you know if you don't ask? I think they want to
Right.
be friends with you. And I think the hardest part owners are concerned with, well, if I become too friendly with them and then they don't work
Take
out,
advantage of me or whatever.
or yeah, how do I fire somebody I've become friends with? So
Right.
they don't need to be your best friend. Find your best friends outside of work,
Right.
but you do need to be kind,
Yes.
compassionate, and caring.
I love that. Oh my gosh. That's why we're so aligned. Like our product actually we have is called Compassion Concierge. It's all about being compassionate and kind, and it will pay back tenfold because
That's right.
a little kindness goes a long way, and people are so appreciative that if it's a human or an AI bot, like if you're have someone who listens to you and understands, it's
Right.
amazing, Lisa, what we see on the back end of what people will ask an AI assistant because it's not a
Huh.
human, and they know that they won't have a human give them any. There's no strings attached, so to speak. So people ask very deep questions, and it's such a blessing to be able to serve them in their time of need. Okay, so I want need people to know where they can connect with you and your work, your funeral coach, your funeral women lead, the Leadership Academy, the Wellness Summit, the foundation. I will put all the links in the notes, but say verbalise for our podcast listeners.
So, funeralwomenlead.org,
Okay.
and you can reach me at lisa@funeralwomenlead.org. Very
Awesome. And Lisa
simple.
is Lisa, right?
Essay, correct.
You never know
LISA,
these
right?
days.
No, but we're on social media. We're on Insta. We are not on TikTok, but we are on Facebook as well. So
it's hard to
reach out to us. Yeah, follow us. Just follow us. You'll see our updates. Sign up for our newsletter and you'll receive all the things that we're doing. Yeah, our registration is going to be opening probably close to mid to end of May for okay. our fall summit and our Women's Leadership Academy. And we are going to have, hopefully this year, we believe we'll have some scholarships available for those that perhaps can't, their owners, we're finding, unfortunately, a lot of owners will not pay for their staff to go out for continuing education. So I think it's important that we find those scholarships. And there's some wonderful other scholarships in the industry available through the Funeral Service Foundation. And I belong to on that board of trustees as well. And so we're very scholarship based and focused because we know these young people need this extra help.
They do.
Be they male or female, there's help out there for you. And reach out to us if you have any questions.
I love it. I didn't mean to interrupt. What I'm saying is like, because we want the profession to move forward, we have to change with the times. It's not that they're not honoring, the new generation's not honoring what we have been through, but we need to change together and bring them into this new modern era. And I think that is so important so we understand each other and have better communication skills. So that Agreed. Is huge. Lisa, Agreed. Thank you. This conversation matters because the funeral homes that win long-term are the ones that really build trustworthy teams. And that is marketing for the Death Care Marketing Show. And if you're listening as an owner, your recruiting message has to be your internal reality. If the workplace supports people, word travels through the profession and through the community. So, and on one more note, Funeral Women Lead recently announced that it received the official 501c tax exempt status, which will expand, obviously you said, to scholarships and programming. So this work is becoming scalable. In fact, I don't know if this is even possible, but you gave me an idea. What if an owner set aside a charitable foundation of their own that they could use as a write-off for their business that would pay for leadership training and programs like yours? I don't know if that's possible. Wouldn't that be amazing?
It is possible. And I know owners that are doing it right now. So reach out to me. I can put you in touch with them and share with you how they've set up their foundations. You also can do it through a donor advice fund personally. So depending on how your corporate structure is, if you're a subchapter S corporation and all the income flows to you, you can set up a DAF and your DAF can give to organizations like ours to help establish scholarships for people to help these women grow themselves as leaders. So you can give to all your charities and at home as well through your DAF. And there's just a lot of cool things that you can do. So foundation or DAF, there's all kinds of ways that you can give back. The other thing I'm seeing too with firms is they are using cremation recycling dollars to put into their foundations or depending on how they're structured into their DAF. And they're able to use that to give back into charitable works as well.
That's fantastic. And that kind of ties in. Now I said, now that you're a 501c3, you have the experience of knowing everything it takes to do these kind of things. So what a resource you are, Lisa. That is fantastic.
Well thank you. We're trying to be.
Yes. So Lisa, stay on. We're going to end the show, but I just want to say to our listeners, if this helped, share it with a funeral home who also might need it. Let's do what works and drop what doesn't. And we'll see you next time on the Death Care Marketing Show. Thanks again, Lisa, for being here.
You're welcome.